I seen Jesse in the gym working the fuck out too, boy, getting in shape. You know, if he win, because you know he got a chance, he can win. White dudes like to do shit like that, vote for the wrong dude as a goof. They get drunk and shit and go in there and say, let's vote for Jesse Jackson. I just voted for Jesse Jackson. The next day they'd be like this, they fucking won?
Fortunately, Chris Cuomo is running the show because Wolf went to bed. So, that's...
Ohio! Whoa!
Oh, there's Wolf! Sauce, they called Ohio hours ago.
That
race is over.
It takes one to know one, Vince. Everybody, me!
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a podcast for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things power trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets, and Dave, the one and only Power Trip Quotes. They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. Our legal disclaimer is simply that Lawyer Lambert probably likes us better than you, so good luck suing us. We hope you enjoy this episode, but if not, feel free to play Jax on 494.
All right, Dave, it's election week. And I have to say that this election will go down as one of the most historic, one of the most talked about, remembered elections of all time for one simple reason. It was the ultimate gambling event of all time.
Oh, yes, it was. I'm kind of glad that I wasn't able to access the live window for the presidential election.
Oh, so you didn't place any bets on the election?
I did. I did on a couple states, but I didn't have the overall winner. I had Biden to win Arizona. I had Trump to win Florida, and I had Biden to win Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. So you're gonna get at least two out of three, and maybe all three, depending upon how Arizona ultimately ends up.
Right. The thing that sucks is it just sits around there forever.
Well, speaking of sitting around it forever, I did get in on some of the live action, and I saw today that the sportsbook I use, they are not going to pay out the Biden winning tickets until either Trump concedes the election or the election is officially certified, which probably could be until December. So it's very possible I'm going to be sitting on just a winning ticket and no actual cash for a few weeks. And then, of all things, a good friend, Ende, responds on Twitter that he's already collected on his Biden ticket thanks to William Hill. So, good for you. Exactly. But, oh my God, what an event it was. I mean, because we're not going to get political on this show. You know, it's what's the difference, right? But in terms of just the actual betting and drama of the whole election, it was nuts. It started off the day, obviously, Biden was like a minus 170 favorite going into the day. And the initial returns came in fairly good for him. And he got to about minus 220. And then it started to switch a little bit and it got close. Trump kind of kept chipping away and eventually it got to even. And then Trump just started expanding his lead as better and better results turned in. And I think a lot of people weren't aware that a lot of the absentee ballots weren't being counted yet and how that was all going to ultimately play into everything. And Trump just started going higher and higher and higher and eventually got to like minus 600 or 700. You know, I think I even saw minus 800 at one of the books at one point, which point I think that's when you texted me about the election. And I simply responded back, it's over. I'm moving on to like state issues or whatever, because I thought, you know, that's it. Right. Because it's exactly what happened in 2016. It was almost the same exact pattern. Trump pulled way ahead and the election was over, you know. And I started jumping around to look at other issues and stuff like that and kind of quit paying attention to the presidential race. And then it switched again. And before you knew it, by the time the Power Trip went to the air on Wednesday morning, it was exactly even. Both guys were minus 110. And yeah, it was crazy. And really, and they left the lines up all the way. They didn't take the lines down. I think most of them still had lines up even like late last night. You know, I tweeted out, I got Biden at like minus 1100 after he had already pulled ahead in Pennsylvania. So I'm like, it was pretty crazy. And the books took in a ton of money. Absolutely the most dramatic live betting event I've ever been a part of.
Yeah. And when I texted you initially, when Trump got up to like negative 700, that's when I was like, man, I wish it had the live window, because at that point, you know, there's still all these mail-in ballots, which if they're going to be good, unless they're post-dated until the 4th, you know, on election day, they're going to come back and they're going to be hard to process in these high volume areas, which are the big cities, which is where like a high amount of the or high percent of the Biden voters would be coming from. So at that point, I mean, getting Biden even at, you know, think if you would have got Biden at plus 650.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's where I thought it was a good value play for, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. My initial ticket on Biden that I got was actually minus 240, which was, that was on Wednesday. Cause I have to think through the days because this lasted so long. It was Wednesday after he had won, it became apparent that he was going to win Michigan and Wisconsin. And I'm like, you know, you start doing the math, he really only needs to win either Pennsylvania at this point or Arizona, Nevada, and he's got it. And he had gotten as high as like minus 600, and I'm not sure what dropped it back down to minus, you know, ultimately down to like minus 240. But I was like, I jumped all over that because I'm like, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason why Trump would pull ahead in the other states unless there's something I'm totally missing. And so, yeah, I've got very fortunate with that one. And yep, we'll have to wait to cash those. But oh, how much fun. And, you know, I love live betting anyway. I know you don't always get the best odds with it, but man, something like that. And of course, just all the drama, you know, that's all anybody was focused on for about 4 days. So very, very exciting. So I'll have to wait 4 years for that. And speaking of 4 years, I think I pissed some people off by tweeting out the early odds for the 2024 presidential election today. But hey, the sports books have them up. I thought people might be interested. So why not? Get your bets in early for the 2024 election. No, actually don't. If you're actually thinking of betting on the 2024 election, my advice is to wait. Most of these are absolute sucker bets because a lot of these people will not even officially run for president in 2024. So
there's a good value side of it where, like, you know, when you're picking the Triple Crown race winners like a year ahead of time,
yeah,
you can get some, you know, what turns out to be day of favorites at, you know, plus 2200 or something like that.
But if you can hit them, but a lot of it is like massive sucker bets. So tread lightly if you're going to bet on the 2024 election in 2020. So all right, well, we've got an election theme tonight. So we talked about the election betting up front. I'm going to do a bets update and talk a little bit more about some of the election results. We got quotes of the week. And then in your thoughts, of course, we're going to talk about the tank for Hawks crank. We're going to give our reaction to Hawks speech. And we're going to go down memory lane to the day after the 2016 election. And I just thought it would be interesting to play a few sound bites from what things sounded like the day after the election in 2016. Then, of course, we got quotes, notes, and our locks of the week. And we'll get started with a bets update.
Partridge.
All right. Well, a couple new bets this week. Speaking of pissing people off, Ben Lieber and the Fargo Flash bet on the Minnetonka Edina game, and I saw a couple of people didn't like the idea of people betting on high school sports, but hey, you know what? You can bet on anything as far as I'm concerned.
It's the Cake Eater Classic.
It is. Fargo took Minnetonka -3. And Lieber took the points, and lo and behold, Edina won the game outright, 14-13, a touchdown with 59 seconds left to put Ben over the top and collect $50 from Fargo. So I was actually watching a little bit of that. They had it on the old live stream, and I was like, I'm going to tune in and see what's going on here. So it was kind of interesting to watch. So yeah, Minnetonka blew a 13-0 lead, and Lieber came all the way back to collect $50. The other bet was this week was the Gopher Illinois bet, and that was the line was Gophers -7. Tommy took that against both Meat Sauce and Corey for $100 each. And lo and behold, the Gophers finally came through. They won 41-14. So Tommers picks up $100 each from Corey and Meat Sauce. So, finally cashing in on the Gophers this year after the old 0-2 start. Did you watch any of the game today, Dave?
I didn't. I tracked it because I had the over. But, yeah, I mean, of course, when everybody gives up on them, they win a road game in the Big Ten. So they got a long ways to go, that's for sure. But this is a start. So Sky Umah, roll the boat, go Gophers.
And it does bring the Gophers to one win in their in Tommy versus Chris with the Gophers versus the Vikings. So the Vikings are up 2-1. So we'll see what the Vikings do with Detroit tomorrow. The only other thing I wanted to talk about was the sports betting that passed in South Dakota. Now, of course, South Dakota, Maryland, and Louisiana voters all approved sports gambling measures. But the one that's obviously the most interest to our listeners is South Dakota, being very nearby where many of our listeners live and where some other of our listeners actually do live. So the nuts and bolts of it is that what they did is they approved sports gambling to be offered in Deadwood, and then by extension, any casino that is Native American casinos in South Dakota, of which there are 12 of those. The closest one to Minnesota is Watertown, South Dakota, just a little bit over the border there. So those casinos will be eligible to offer sports betting once the legislature hammers out the rules for it. Now, that's kind of the fly in the ointment, because the legislature ultimately gets to dictate a lot of the terms of this. The big thing there is whether or not they're going to allow mobile gambling. So there's nothing right now that says that they have to offer mobile gambling. They could just restrict it to on-site only, which would be kind of a buzzkill. Especially because, you know, a lot of people drive across South Dakota. It'd be awesome to just be able to place some bets while you're driving through South Dakota and not have to go to a physical location. Now, if you're going to Deadwood anyway, not as big of a deal because the casinos there will be able to offer it. But that's one thing that remains to be seen. And just how quickly they'll implement it, how many operators they'll have, all those sorts of details. They'll have to shake all that stuff out. So good news. And then, of course, they also legalized medicinal marijuana and recreational marijuana. So if you're into the old wacky weed, South Dakota will definitely be the place to go. And I thought it was so funny that, you know, a lot of people commented that Minnesota thinks that it's so progressive, and our little neighbors to the west, they've got sports betting and legal weed. So I don't know. Minnesota needs to get on the ball.
Yeah, and probably one of the most conservative states in in the country, and yet they're more progressive than us. So
yeah, by far. And so congratulations. I think it brings it to like exactly half the states now will have some form of legalized sports gambling. My over under on Minnesota is still 38.5 as to when Minnesota gets legalized sports gambling. I am really hoping Missouri or Kansas get it done next year. I think one or both of them would have this year for me, but COVID kind of threw a wrench in all that during their legislative session. So hopefully we'll get it ramped up and done in 2021. So that's all I got. It's time for some quotes.
And now it's time for the quotes of the week.
I'd let Brett Favre be on me.
Sure.
Ted Bundy's been to the Rose Bowl more recently than the Gophers have.
Because it's hard to bang and play it at the same time.
Bang and lung darts, whale.
All right, friends, it is time for the quotes of the week, and we have some doozies for you. We will start at number 3 with Chris Hockey.
Can you read the sign?
Do they have any good songs?
My God.
Do you have any good real teeth?
We know he has a lot of good fake teeth.
Yeah, he put that little caveat in there. Do you have any good real teeth? So that was part of the Zing Fest that was Friday on the Power Trip.
it really was a zing fest. It was just a, it was like a six-way tennis match.
It was.
And the airwaves were the net.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was genius. All right, we will move to number two, and it is the Halloween song creator, Tommy Olsen.
Oh, and then I said the bitch opening segment?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
I love it. Yeah, something about saying bitch gets your mind right in the morning.
Brilliant. Oh my god, I love how he says that. It was very philosophical. Something about saying bitch in the morning, get your mind right.
Yes. Yes, he's just on a chalkboard and he's doing a mathematical equation. Like, okay, what words can I say to really get going in the morning? Oh, bitch, that works. All right, sweet.
Perfect.
All right, and finally, at number one, not all quotes need to be funny, but this one definitely was deserving of number one.
You're not going to change my mind, I'm not going to change yours, and I'm not even going to try. Just go vote and then move on, because you shouldn't spend time worrying about things you cannot control. All you can do is vote. That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
Pretty good words there from Mr. Hockey.
Very well said. I can't tell you the number of times I tell my wife the exact same thing. Like, don't worry about things you can't control. Easier said than done, I know. But it's a good reminder that there are a lot of things that are beyond your control. And just all you can do is react to the things that you can control.
Right. So when Mike Zimmer is mismanaging the clock tomorrow against the Lions, just remember, you can't control it.
Yeah, pretty much anytime I place a bet, just remember I can't control it.
I know.
So,
that's maybe why it hit home so well for me.
Yeah, there's a big part of the gambling side of that where I probably don't live that in my life, because I try everything I can to control it when I'm 2,000 miles away from the game, you know. But you just have to let your bets be. Don't worry about them. That's the Zen approach to betting.
Yes. All right. Well, there are your quotes of the week.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
All right. Well, first up in Your Thoughts this week, we'd be remiss to not talk about hashtag Tank for Hawks Crank. We got yet another one on Fanline this week, and we learned that Chad Abbott does not like the bit, which is perfect because, as we know around here, don't encourage it, right? So I think by letting the listeners know that Chad Abbott doesn't like the bit, we pretty much guaranteed that we're going to hear about Hawks Crank every game for the rest of the season.
Duh. And like I said, I personally will not encourage this any longer. I just, and Corey talked about it the other day too. It's like, he doesn't care. Like, he thinks it's a good bit or whatever. But like, now really the only thing that is making the bit funny is that we're trying to keep the streak alive, you know?
Oh, for sure.
And I think we need some inner discipline too, in the Tank for Hawks Crank group. Once somebody's mentioned it once, then I think we're good. Like, if we just rack up 3 or 4 or 5, it's like, they're going to cut, they're going to take down Fanline.
Well, suppose I'm on the over for one day. I definitely can't discourage you from calling in again and again and again, because you never know when there might be some side action on it. And the over under for Hockey's Cranks might be 1.5. So
our chances of landing that Abbott interview is going down every single week, Chuck.
Hey, we're not the ones calling in. They can do caller ID. You and I have not called in and said it on the air. So,
now have I cut up a highlight script, and shared that out there and encouraged people to do it? Oh, sure, but I haven't done it myself.
Do I tweet it like 3 seconds after it airs on Fanline every week? What I love to is every time I tweet it, Hockey retweets it. So Hockey's definitely encouraging it.
Yeah, maybe that should be the judgment there too. Once the guys stop, you know, supporting that, then we stop the support of the bit. But I'm kind of on the fence right now.
I am definitely still encouraging it. I'll go down with the ship. Abbott can blame me. And if we lose the Abbott interview, I guess it's my fault. So,
yeah, it's worth it. Hashtag tanks for Hawks Crank. Let's go.
And shout out to Hussey Van, who was the caller again last week. So that's 2 for Hussey Van on the season. Steve has 1, and I'm not 100% sure who the other callers were, but we're doing good. We got a lot of bets and quotes listener input on the old Tank for Hawks Crank. So brilliant. All right. Well, the next thing that happened this week, and we previewed it with last week's show, was the speech. We had the speech on Monday. And Dave, of course, as is your annual tradition, you documented the speech and tweeted the whole thing out. What were your thoughts, highlights from Hockey's speech?
Okay, so overall, I thought, as always, it was dynamite and very necessary for the world to hear those words. Do I think it was his best one? No. But it was still very good. Obviously, he said that he had written out 4 or 5 pages and cut it down to 2. Just because, you know, the segment can only last so long. They need to make time for the 20 minutes worth of podcast ads for iHeartRadio and listen to Tom Shane keep the lights on for you. But you can tell what he cut out of that speech. There's a big thing happening in his life with his little baby girl, 18 years old now. Her last Christmas at home. I'm assuming she's going to be going to, a college and not living in Maple Grove anymore. I think it would have got real misty if he would have been talking about ABBA. So, I don't want to hear him, you know, cry on the air. But I think he would have brought the house down if he would have touched on Abigail's last Christmas living at home.
See, you're going so much for the non-controversial here. You're kind of on the fence about the Tank for Hawk's crank. You didn't want Hawk to break down. I wanted the full, complete emotional breakdown. Like, I think Hawk should have at least tweeted out his original speech, you know, or had somebody else read it for him. Like, how funny would that be? Like, Hawk writes like the super emotional speech and then have Sauce read it. Like, I think that would be absolutely brilliant. Like, if Hockey's original speech is still around somewhere, we should have Sauce read it. I think that would be brilliant. Or if you could get Corey to read it, that would be brilliant too. Because Corey could read it in just a very monotone, I haven't cried since ET kind of voice, and really.
Or get Corey to read it as Shakira.
Oh my God. I don't think
it as Brian Johnson from AC/DC.
It was 4 or 5 pages. I don't think Corey could do that without keeping himself confined to home for yet another 2 weeks. But,
Santa.
No, I really liked it. I agree. It definitely had it didn't have the tone that I thought it was going to have. Cause like you said, the whole Abba Dabba angle, and I really thought it was going to be a little bit more emotional, but I did love the whole thing about, you know, just kind of pointing out that, you know, when he asked Alex what his favorite vacation was, and it was the whole Brainerd thing, and, you know, just that they were spending time as a family and stuff like that. And, you know, it's so funny because, like, every time we go on vacation or, you know, you try and plan something, you're trying to make it be, like, the biggest, greatest, bestest thing ever. And, you know, a lot of times it's just like very simple, mundane things that really become the long term and long lasting memories and stuff like that. So I just thought that was kind of a cool reminder that, you know, you don't have to go over the top or, you know, something outrageous to really make an impression on your kids or, you know, even that your family and friends around you and stuff like that. It's like just being together and, you know, you think back to the best memories of your life. Sometimes it's not what was going on, it's who you were with and the fact that you were experiencing something with that person at that time, regardless of what it was. So I thought that was really cool. And I of course enjoyed the speech, and thought it was very, very fun, and I look forward to it every year. And I almost tweeted out only 364 more sleeps till the next Hockey speech.
Yeah, I think Cardboard Charlie leads that bandwagon with the countdown to the speech. The other thing that I really liked and wanted to touch on again was the whole line, and I think he said it 3 or 4 times during the speech, of the perception is reality.
Right.
And especially with the younger kids, if you're sitting around and kind of moping and you don't have all the same cousins and aunts and uncles over, and you don't really make it that kind of a fun, you know, your kids are going to have a bad Christmas. But even if it's the 3 or the 4 or 5 of you, you know, if dad puts on a goofy hat and, you know, does impressions and, you know, gets silly and turns up the Christmas tunes a little too loud, and you know, you can, it's all about how you make it. I just love that message. Perception is reality.
Or if your dad upside down 69's a man that you work with, you know, whatever, you know, whatever can create a memory, right?
Yes. So. Yes.
All right. Well, I love it. I don't have any Christmas stuff up yet, which is kind of embarrassing because we're like a week into November and that's like way behind schedule for me. But I am going to get something up definitely this week. So
We got the Christmas tree out of the closet and I'm down in one of the guest bedrooms in the basement and I'm looking to my left. And I am socially distanced 6 feet from our Christmas tree right now.
I love it. I need to get there. So, all right. Well, I think it's time for a stroll down memory lane.
Down memory lane we go.
All right. Well, we're going to go back to 2016. Now, these aren't like the funniest, most hilarious clips, but I thought it would be fun to kind of contrast what happened this year in 2020 with the election and, you know, the drawn out nature, the uncertainty, and just some of the things that they talked about with the 2016 election. So I grabbed a few clips and we'll just talk about them. Brought back some memories of some things I had already forgotten about, but we'll start right off the open. And of course, it's the brilliant Growing Pains theme leads right into election talk.
Mark Rosen later.
Steve
what a
Lambert.
Fun day. Steve Lambert will be in.
Lawyer Lambert will be here.
No, that's not true.
Well, I thought he was.
He was gonna, but that is not happening today.
Oh,
thankfully.
Yeah, I know.
My Lambert overload.
I don't blame you. We got each other sharing.
Voters have spoken, right? There's no debating that we live in a democracy and people go out and they get to vote for whatever they want. And I did vote. I think most of us here did.
I did.
And overwhelmingly, it went our way, right? Overwhelmingly. Because recreational marijuana is now approved in California, Massachusetts, and Nevada.
So yeah, that was the opener that Corey was focused on the places that had legalized marijuana, which is, you know, interesting in light of the fact that our neighbors to the west now have it.
Yes, yeah, that seems like obviously so long in the past, back when we thought that was a, you know, a game changing thing that marijuana could be legal for recreation, and now like almost every state has it. So.
Yeah, because at the time it was just Colorado, and
maybe Washington.
Washington might have had it at the time that happened, and then yeah, Nevada was one of the next very early adopters, and that became a favorite destination for people headed to good old Las Vegas. So, and it was always good to hear the old Growing Pains theme. I mean, that's why we have it on our show every week, but I love hearing it on the old Power Trip episodes as well.
I'm still not sick of it.
I never will be. It's my favorite one of all time. All right, well, obviously they got to talking about the presidential election, and Corey gave some of his thoughts.
I watched his speech. I was up so late.
You did not.
It was like almost 2 o'clock. I couldn't fall asleep.
Holy crap, are you kidding me?
When it looked like it was all but done at like 11:30, right? But it just kind of lingered and lingered and lingered, and I wasn't falling asleep. So I'm like, all right, now I'm into this. I was wide awake, which normally I can fall asleep in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So now, because it's historic, I'm like, all right, if he speaks tonight, I got to see this. I got to see what he does, just out of pure curiosity. And he was essentially the opposite of what he's been the last year and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. I know.
Which in a lot of ways is disingenuous, right? Because to be so gracious to Clinton when he said nothing but horrific things about her, including, you know, even his supporters last night chanting, lock her up,
yeah,
lock her up. And then he starts the speech with, you know, we're in a great deal of debt to her service to this country and
yeah,
this and that. And it's like, well, come on. You don't even like her.
So yeah, Corey stayed up and listened to the speech, which is obviously late for them on a work day.
Yeah, I think Corey's a bigger politic nut than we give him credit for, because he's been all locked over this year's election as well. But I remember staying up for it as well, just because it was now going to be our future former president Trump, such a polarizing figure. You know, it was just kind of, either way it was going to go, it was going to be such a crazy and polarizing election. So
yeah, for sure. Like Corey said, I mean, it was just definitely a historic moment. And if you're awake, it's definitely worth watching things like that. And it was also unusual that Hillary hadn't given a concession speech when Trump gave his victory speech, which is definitely not the norm. But now we've seen that two elections in a row, so maybe it is becoming the norm. But Corey touched on that as well.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I get that. It's 3 o'clock in the East Coast. She's awake. She has a concession speech ready. I voted for her. I wanted her to win. I'm not super thrilled that Trump's our president. However, horrible move by her.
Yep.
And her she will never be president now. She knows that. I think that was crashing upon her last night, that it's over for her.
I think
this was
it,
her
dude.
One and only chance to be president. She will never be president. And that probably crashed down upon her, but it would have been her last gigantic political moment to handle this perfectly.
Yeah.
And she butchered it.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. I was astounded that she didn't give us a concession speech this morning. What she did last night by not giving the concession speech, in my opinion, was essentially retired.
So, yeah, so wow. I definitely had fairly strong feelings on that. And I remember that, too, because I stayed up as well because, you know, it was so close and, you know, you kind of wanted to see what played out. And I remember being very surprised that she's not giving a concession speech. And, you know, I've thought to this day, whether you love Hillary Clinton, hate Hillary Clinton, I think it would be and we'll never see it. But I think it would be fascinating to see a documentary of Election Day and Hillary Clinton, because she was such a gigantic favorite going into that day. So, you know, if you've got the behind the scenes cameras following her around, I mean, it's going to be nothing but excitement, jubilation. You know, I'm about to be elected, you know, not only president, the first female president, you know, the first husband and wife president. I mean, just like all the history that was about to be made and everything. And everybody around you is telling you, you are going to win. You are going to win. And the numbers started out good for her. And so, you know, there's going to be this whole feeling of just euphoria. And, you know, it's like it's the Vikings in the Super Bowl and we are way up and everything is rolling. And then it all turned around. And I cannot, you know, any person, I mean, I cannot imagine how emotionally crushing that was for her to lose to Trump. And I think, like, if there was a documentary film of just that whole process from, like, beginning jubilation to, like, the final realization that you've lost and then the decision to not even give a concession speech that night and wait until the next day after Trump's already given his victory speech, I think it'd make a fascinating documentary. But
oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely odd. And now, you know, we've seen that Trump is going to challenge the election results against Biden. And so we've got two in a row where apparently we're not good at conceding anymore in this country, be it Republican or Democrat. See, I think we're just used to being Viking fans and we know how to lose. So we do it pretty graciously. So I've had to give living outside of Minnesota, I've had to give many, many Viking concession speeches over the years. So.
Right. And then we're done by, you know, in 3:15, you know, you either take a nap or you pass out from drinking too much. And then you wake up at 7 o'clock, you're ready to go.
Absolutely. Well, there were some things from the election, listening back to that episode, that I had completely forgotten about, including this.
But I don't know anything about it. I don't have any money. I spent all my money at the casino. So
yeah, and on Christmas dragons.
Well, Sauce is like, when are we getting Canes? Because I owe him Canes, right?
Yeah, you do.
Because Trump won, and I owe him Raising Canes, and that's fine. Those $10 to $12 are the least of my worries, right? At 8 o'clock, or at 8:30, I'm not going to be too worried about that.
Okay.
My wife is currently changing her pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's because...
because she defecated in them.
I thought maybe because...
Randy.
She may have to start hooking. That's how bad it's going to be at 8:30.
So, Corey, obviously they're referring to the stock market. I had completely forgotten that they had bet on the election. And that I went and looked it up. It was actually May 5th that they had placed the bet where Sauce said that Trump is going to win the election. And sure enough, Sauce was right. And unfortunately for him, he'd only bet a Caniac on it. So he ended up winning a Caniac from Corey on the old election.
Yeah, I think he probably should have got better odds on that one.
Yeah, for sure. So. All right. Well, a lot was touched on this week between old Wolf Blitzer and John King on the show, and Meat Sauce even got the Wolf Sauce designation this week. But yeah, it was interesting to hear their thoughts on Wolf Blitzer and John King from 2016.
And then the polls would adjust, right? It'd go in Florida. It'd go from 39% of the precincts have reported to 40, but those three counties wouldn't have changed. And he's like, Trump is surging. It's like, you're not listening.
Yeah,
you're not listening. He's going to win every other rural county in Florida.
Correct.
It comes down to these three and whether or not the math works out. But Wolf is an idiot.
Yeah.
He got exposed so hardcore last night. It was unbelievable. He's the Lon McCarron of CNN.
There are multiple times you could tell in John King, the Beezer was like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, you don't get it. Like, who cares?
He just didn't get it. And now the Anderson Cooper of the Power Trip Morning Show, Jamie Watson.
Hey!
Hey!
What's up, guys?
So, yeah, a little down memory lane with Jamie Watson there. But, yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. And, of course, Sauce had to reference that John King is the Beezer.
Oh, I thought that so many times watching CNN. The Beezer!
The Beezer, and I'm just picturing him saying it to Wee like over and over and over during all the coverage. The Beezer, the Beezer.
Yeah, she probably went downstairs.
I would think so. I myself would have cracked up every single time he said it, though. So he might be playing to an audience of one with that, but I definitely would have laughed.
I love it.
All right, well, that was a fun little trip down memory lane. Lots of similarities to 2016 and a few things different from 2016, but always interesting whenever there's an election and the heightened anxiety that triggers around people. So hopefully we can kind of get back to just being nice to each other, win, lose, or draw with this. So, all right, and speaking of being nice, I am really looking forward to tonight's Quotes Notes Open.
It's a repeat.
Quotes Notes! Quotes Notes! Quotes Notes! Quotes Notes!
All right, well, I'm going to stick to my mantra being nice and not say anything at all. Take it away.
I think that was one of the only ones you actually enjoyed, just because it was so short.
That's right. I think that was my original comment. Thank you for keeping it short.
I digress. All right. Salted nut roll shred.
Oh, my God.
Almost
yes.
Everything that I think it's the Pearson Company.
They're right there in St. Paul, man, and they don't do tours. I'm like, how on earth do you not do tours? Like, almost every, beer manufacturer and candy manufacturer, you can take like some kind of like glorified tour. I've taken the Ben and Jerry's tour at the Ben and Jerry's factory.
Isn't that Maine?
No, it's New Hampshire. Yeah.
Okay.
But up there, or is it Vermont? One of the, I get New Hampshire. And
yeah.
Vermont
it's Vermont. It's Vermont.
Yeah. So we did that, which was a blast, you know, and, we did the Ethel M. Chocolate one in Vegas, if you ever get a chance to do that, that's a lot of fun. You get free chocolate at the end. You know, I've done the Budweiser tour. I can't count how many times I've done the Budweiser tour. I've done the Miller tour. I mean, it's epic.
You've done the Liney's tour with Miller and
yes,
Butler?
Yes, for sure, 100%. So, but yeah, I can't believe our own Minnesota company that makes one of the best candies of all time, they don't do tours.
It's a crime. Side note on that one, doing the peanuts mixed 50-50 with the candy corn for Halloween tastes exactly like a salted nut roll. So good.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like, I don't mean people, it's fashionable to like hate on candy corn. And, I don't have time for people that hate on candy corn.
Yeah. I won't stand for it anymore. next
thanks,
up,
Popeye.
Arrested Development kicks ass. That show is so funny. Specifically, you know, they always talk about the first two seasons and mostly season two. But I think the first three or four seasons are just amazing. The writing is just so brilliant. It always comes back to one thing from the beginning right at the end. The money's always in the banana stand. It's just genius. Chuck, do you watch or have you watched Arrested Development?
I'm so embarrassed to say I have never seen an episode of it, which it's I okay. can't believe myself because I love Jason Bateman. Like, I remember Jason Bateman as like a child actor, and I liked him in a lot of the stuff he was in then. And I can't recall anything I've ever seen where I did not like his role. I might not necessarily like the whole show or movie or whatever it was, but like I he's a great actor. I love Jason Bateman, and I've never started Arrested Development. So like Hockey always says, I get to enjoy it for the first time. So I think that'll probably be our next thing, because we're just wrapping up Schitt's Creek now. So that might actually be a perfect thing to binge.
Yeah, it's just so smart. You'll love it. There's a bunch of other big name actors in it as well. All right, next up here, I wrote this first off of the week before it became a big thing. But yeah, every time I see John King on CNN, I think of the Beezer. next up, love that Zach kept the bitch streak alive the other day in the first segment.
It was
kind of right at the buzzer too.
Oh yeah, it was very tenuous, and
back of my mind.
Zach snuck it in there. So way to go, Zach.
Way to go, Rocco. next up, kind of serious note. Hope the Cove family recovers well from COVID-19. That must suck. I couldn't imagine, you know, especially with having young kids and not knowing exactly how they're going to react to it. I know some people say that, you know, oh, it doesn't affect kids ever, you know, that bad. Well, you never know until you get it, especially at that age. You don't know pre-existing conditions or if you have something. So just hope that they all recover and get back to full strength here shortly.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely on a serious note, definitely want them to get back. On a less serious note, I do think it's funny. It's so funny. You can hear it, and Corey said it multiple times about how desperate he is to get back into the studio and how hard it is for him to do the show remotely. And it makes me laugh because you and I have never recorded a show in the same room. And in fact, I think...
Once at Mr. Z's house.
That's true. That technically counts. I don't really think of that as like a normal episode, but yeah, I guess that you're right. That is true. Because I was thinking the next episode that we're going to record together in the same room is going to be the We Are the World episode, and it'll almost be more awkward to be like in the same room with you recording than farther apart, like the complete reverse of Corey. So I kind of chuckled like every time Corey would say, man, it's so hard to do radio when I'm not in the same room, and I don't know how these other shows do it and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't know, I guess it's just what you're used to, right? So he's exactly. used to looking at them, and I've said this before on the podcast, but like when I've been in studio, that's the one thing that really surprised me, because I just kind of figured, you know, when you're there, you've got, you know, your computer screens, you got your notes, your phone, all that kind of stuff, that you would spend most of the time just talking to the microphone and not necessarily maintaining eye contact, because, you know, Chris is in the other room and Corey and Sloss are across from each other and stuff. And it amazed me how much, like, you know, Corey is looking right at Sloss, looking right at Chris as he's talking to him. And he's not like looking at his microphone and talking to the microphone. They're having a conversation. And so I think for him, that's exactly what he's used to. And that's what he misses. And that's his comfort zone. So glad to know he'll be back in studio on Monday.
Absolutely. Next up, we all know the One Bad Llama on Twitter. He has been putting together all these face app music video things, or deep fakes. I don't know what you call it, but whatever the kids are doing nowadays, call it a TikTok. You know, that's how out of touch I am. But the one the other day with Meat Sauce as Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones was the most identical one of all time. That was so good. And Chuck, obviously, because you're an ignorant slut, you've never seen Game of Thrones, but you would know that that's a dead ringer. It was. I retweeted it. I just watched it the other day just because I can't get enough of it. It looks exactly like Sauce.
Yeah, those are quite frightening. And what I love about it, like my favorite one is Charge, because Charge always tweets like how frightening it is, how like terrifying it is, and yet he keeps retweeting it. It's like you know, you're just drawing attention to it. It's like the whole don't encourage it if it's really that terrifying to you. And I believe me, I think it's terrifying to all of his followers. You might want to stop retweeting it, but it's a funny little bit.
Next up, Tommy's Halloween song was way better than I thought it was gonna be. It's super clever. Also, on a side note, in my power rankings of the three candies that the song's titled after, I go a go Reese's, Sour Patch, and Butterfinger. I do love all of them, and Butterfinger normally is my Blizzard of choice. But
of course.
The only thing I hate is it gets so like stuck in my teeth. Like I need to go to the dentist after every time I like eat a Butterfinger. So it kind of drives me nuts.
Just brush your teeth and floss, dude. Come on. It is Reese's Butterfinger Sour Patch. There's no argument whatsoever. I'm like, there. I mean, I know Honey Mackey's did the little special Tommy's Blizzard there and put all three in one. But quite frankly, Sour Patch and ice cream just do not mix. Butterfinger, if it wasn't for blizzards, like if blizzards didn't exist and were gone from the face of the earth, I maybe could see the argument for Sour Patch ahead of Butterfinger. It'd be close. But yeah, no. Butterfinger blizzards are the bomb.
Well, but I'm not saying that a Sour Patch blizzard is better than a Butterfinger blizzard.
No, I got you. But you cannot disregard the fact that Butterfinger blizzards exist, and that alone should put them ahead of Sour Patch Kids.
Sir, how dare you, sir? next up, I saw my favorite Halloween costume of the year that I saw on Twitter was from Wii. We dressed up as Meat Sauce.
I saw that. That was pretty good.
She put on one of his NBA Jam t-shirts and his Whalers hat and held up Muppet. That made me laugh very hard. So very well done, we. Next up, the Power Trip Twitter account is trying to steal my job. They tweeted out when Sauce said the other day, with his explanation of the voting process and how the Electoral College went out. I was definitely going to do it, but they posted it. And I think there's like three or four people that commented saying that Power Trip quotes, you're getting your job stolen from you. So I at least had to mention it. Let's get into some fun ones here. I, just like Ed Olson Sr., love Ariana Grande. He brought it up. Oh. One of his favorite, as Tommy said, one of his favorite pump-up Christmas tunes, because that's the classification. He needs to classify his Christmas tunes. Was the Ariana Grande. I think it's the All I Want for Christmas or whatever it is. But Ariana Grande bangs. She is super good.
I just have to wonder how many questions Ed Olson Sr. had to answer that day about Ariana Grande.
At least brilliant. To Kel. I think that's his. Tommy calls her Kel, which at this point, it's probably turned into just K or
of
M
course.
Or M for mom. can't wait for the Masters next week.
Oh, God.
Going to be absolutely electric. Oh, man. That Masters nap from like 3:30 until 4:30 is on Sunday is one of the best naps of the calendar year. So everybody appreciate this. And it's going to be awesome because we get it in November and then we still get it in 2021. The first weekend of April, so we get two Masters in 6 months. It doesn't get much better than this.
Back-to-back Masters, and for the gambling angle on it, it's going to be interesting because this is really Corey's last shot. Because if Corey wins the Masters tournament and his golfer wins, he's gonna turn all the bad mojo of 2020 around. He's gonna be profitable, climb up the leaderboard and stuff like that. If Corey does not win the Masters, this is going to go down as the worst single year of any gambler unless he makes a ton of bets and wins them the rest of the way, because he is so far down at this point in 2020. But that thought crossed my mind. It's like this could be Corey's last stand get back into the black here. So we'll see who he picks, how he goes. He has not had good luck either, because on the draws, he is almost one of the last people picked for every major championship draw. So he needs to turn his mojo around a little bit.
Yes, he does. Time for two more. Bond 007 for N64 is in my top five of video games of all time. Now, I should say that I'm very bad at like the first person shooter video games, but that's probably, it's definitely top three in hours played. We always used to get together in the neighborhood with all the kids and play, and loved that game.
Yeah, I never was an N64 person, so I was like, I had my Sega Genesis, and then I kind of went through my dry spell of video games until I got the Xbox. So yeah, I never had the enjoyment of playing the 007 game.
Oh, you have so much life yet to live. And the last one here. Now, I should preface this by saying I did not listen to the after party where there was a full, basically a fan line on this topic, but I have a feeling that the State Fair t-shirt this year is going to involve Tommy getting his BH bleached.
Oh my God.
Like, and there's so many great parts about that, and I need to listen to the after party on it before I even get too crazy about it. But the fact that Tommy thinks that he can just mention in passing that he's not only going to get his butthole bleached, but he's going with a friend. So he's telling other people, and he's making it like, oh, let's go grab Lian Chan, get some lo mein, and then go get our buttholes bleached. Like, and thinks that it's not going to, like, it's not a big deal. Like, that's peak Tommy Olsen.
See, this is how you know that, like, all the stuff that Tommy's ever brought up on the air is legit and true. Because, you know, I think there's some people that probably think, oh, you know, Tommy's just telling stories or, you know, exaggerating things to kind of have a bit on the air. No. He didn't even bring this up. This was something that was an off-air comment that they happened to mention. It's like it wasn't part of his notes. It wasn't anything. It was just, so again, like we said during the whole Zamboni incident, it's like, how many of these things exist in Tommy's world, right, that we don't even know about because he's not bringing them up because he doesn't think there's really a whole lot to it. It's just part of normal Tommy life, right?
And so, I think that's the thing.
Oh, my God.
We're so shocked and blown away and disgusted by the things that we know.
Right.
Think about the things we don't know.
1,000%. Olsen. That's my point. So, yeah. So... never-ending source of entertainment. And for the record, of course, I am on Team Tommy's takes, of course, because it is the thing I look forward to it every Thursday. Every once in a while, it can be a little bit disastrous, but
that's why it's good too.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
Just like the Predictors opens.
And the energy that he brings to it, everything. It's one of the few segments, initials included, that I'm 100% sure to listen to live every single week. Whatever I'm doing, I make sure I am listening live at 7:25 on Thursdays and stuff like that. So it's brilliant. And I am terrified to know what else goes on in the world of Tom.
So set your alarms for 7 o'clock or I should say 5:30 because he comes in right away. But next Thursday, I'm sure we will get the full breakdown. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
All right. That's it.
We've got our NFL locks of the week to get to. And I've got the T-Box because I'm on a 3-game winning streak. So I started off disastrous, 0-5. I'm back up to 3-5. Of course, you're still a couple games ahead of me. You're 5-3. I've got the T-Box, and I am going to stick with the Dolphins under. Now, last week, I had to sweat that baby out because the over-under was 45.5. The number was 45, and we hit it, though. We hit the under. But I will say, too, in my defense, the game kind of played out like I thought it would. What surprised me is that the Dolphins got a defensive touchdown and then a punt return touchdown. So those were kind of like two things you don't always, you know, they weren't like your normal offense versus defense kind of touchdowns. They were kind of, you know, those fluky defensive touchdowns. And without those, we would have easily been under. As it was, I had to sweat it out, including a missed field goal by the Rams when they were down 11, trying to get back to making an 8-point game. And that would have nailed the over, and thankfully that kick came up woefully short. So, so in any event, I am 3-5. I'm on a 3-game streak. I'm sticking with the Dolphins. I've got the Dolphins and Cardinals under 48, which might seem, you know, a little bit dangerous because the Cardinals can be a high-powered team with Kyler Murray. But Tua did not do anything last week, and so I'm not super confident that the Dolphins can score a lot. The Cardinals play a pretty underrated defense. They're They're pretty solid as it is. And the Dolphins, like I laid out last week, they are top five in a whole bunch of categories on defense, and they really held the Rams in check last week. So I'm sticking with it. Dolphins, Cardinals, under 48.
I like it. That's a good pick. And two exciting, very young quarterbacks. I hope Tua plays a little better, but yeah, that should be a good game to watch. I am going to go with the Baltimore Ravens first half pick. So it's -115. So you're if it's a tie, get your money back. They normally start when they start well, they win these games. Last week, you know, a tough game, a rivalry game with Pittsburgh. And, you know, they're playing the Colts, and the Colts are kind of a plodding team. They don't really light you up. They're kind of a run first team with a veteran quarterback in Rivers and a good defense. I think this gives the opportunity to the Ravens to jump out. And I think they kind of get revenge and get back on track here. So I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens first half pick.
Sounds good. All right. Well, we will we'll see how those play out. Hopefully the NFL betting Sunday for week 9 is better than week 8. It's been crazy because week 6, the sportsbooks killed the public. Week 7, the public killed the sportsbooks. And now week 8, the sportsbooks killed the public. So the way I look at it, we're due, right? It's like the roulette little table when it goes black, red, black, you know, it's just
absolutely murdered.
It has to be, right?
I got absolutely murdered last weekend after the best weekend of my life. So
everybody did. I mean, I think I only won 2 bets last weekend, and the Feast 5 guys from 9 to noon, they were a combined 3-12.
Which, yeah, I was going to say.
And they were killing it all year, and yeah, just got destroyed last weekend.
Yep.
We're due, right? That's how gambling works, right? It's every other week. So we're definitely due, and it definitely means week 9 is going to be awesome, right?
Of course. Of course. That's exactly how it works.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. We are going to have a fun show. We are going to have Mr. Z back on. We're going to do a fun little bit with him, and he's going to be joining the Power Trip regularly, I believe, starting next Friday as well. So we're going to kind of get him first and kind of welcome Mr. Z back into the fold. It's been way too long. We did our little Top Chef Wales podcast with him, and I was getting used to talking to Mr. Z once a week, and it's been way too long. So we'll do a fun little movie bit with him next week, and you guys can look forward to that. In the meantime, Dave, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at PowerTripQuotes.
And I'm, of course, at PowerTripBets. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie. Baby, rain or shine.